We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi b'Menachem Moshe Micham Yaakov b'Pirchos Leo Weir Menachos Perek Yud Gimel Yud Aleph, the final Mishnah Maseches Menachos Nemar Ba'olas HaBehema Yisherech Nichoach. It says regarding the Ola of a behema, of an animal, in Vayikra Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches Yisherech Nichoach. It's a beautiful fragrance of korban that's burnt on the Mizbeach, a beautiful fragrance to Hashem. Uva'olas Ha'of, there in Pasuk Yud Zayin Vayikra Aleph, regarding the Ola of a bird. It also says Yisherech Nichoach. And Uva Mincha, regarding the korban Mincha in Vayikra Beis Pasuk Beis, Yisherech Nichoach. What? The fact that it says the same phrase, Yisherech Nichoach, this is something that's burnt on the Mizbeach, and it's a beautiful fragrance to Hashem. What does that teach us? The fact that all have the same phrase, Lalame, to teach us. She'echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit. Whether a person brings a lot, when a person is wealthy and he's able to bring an animal, or maybe in a middle category, in terms of his financial status, is able to bring a bird, versus the person who can only afford to bring a korban mincha, a flower offering. It comes to teach us whether you bring a lot or you bring a little. Uvelvad sheyichavein adam es dato lashamem. As long as a person has his kavana, his concentration, his heart is directed heavenward, to fulfill the mitzvah, everything is considered a sheireach nichoach. The Gemara Menachos in Afkuv Dalit says the following: there's an additional point here. When it comes to the korban mincha, the flower offering, the least expensive, it says v'nefesh ki sakriv korban mincha l'Hashem. So why that uses the word nefesh and the other, the bird and the behemoth, does not use the word nefesh? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara, mi darko lavi mincha, who generally speaking brings a korban mincha? Ani, the poor person. Male ani alav ki ilu ikriv nafsho lifanai. You know why it says nefesh ki sakriv? Because I view the impoverished person who could only bring this flower offering as if he's bringing his nefesh. And then the Gemara also says, Manish Tanis Mincha Shenamar Ba Chamisha Mini Tigun Halo. In addition, the Mincha is unique in the fact that there are so many options, so many varieties. We have the five varieties as we learned in the Masechta: Soles, Machavas, Marcheshes, and the two types of Mafe Tanur, the Mafe Chalos and the Mafe Rikikim. Why do we have so many options? Mashal Melech Basar Vadam, says the Gemara, this can be compared to a king of flesh and blood, She'asa Ohavo Su'uda, that he made a Su'uda for his beloved, V'yodabo Shu'ani, and he knows that that person, this good friend, is poor. Amalo, Aseli Min Chamisha Mine Tigon Kedesha Ehne Mimcha. So many varieties. I'll take any variety that you'd like to give me. That's how much Hashem is interested in the korban, even though it's inexpensive, of the ani. So the ani has the different varieties, and the ani has, for the mincha, has nefesh, as opposed to, when it comes to the other korbanos, the ashir uses the word adam as opposed to nefesh. Now, we know that this is specifically referring to the korban ole v'yoreh that we spoke about. There are certain korbanos where you can't get away with bringing a mincha, but certain korban, as we said, the korban ole v'yoreh, certain averos for which a person, let's say, tumas mikdash v'kadashav, and some of the shvuos when it comes to edus, we learn a masecha shvuos. So there, it all depends on your financial status. And when it comes to the mincha, it says Yisherech Nichoach Lashem, like the others. In addition to that, it has nefesh versus adam, and it has the five varieties as well. We begin Maseches Chulin. Chulin is the opposite of Kachim. So why is Chulin in Kachim? So we speak about Karbanos on the one hand, yet there are halachos about animals, about Shrita, about Gidhanosha, about Kashrus, which are discussed in Maseches Chulin. Therefore, we call this Chulin as opposed to the animals that are brought as Kachim, as Karbanos. These are unholy, and that is Maseches Chulin. In terms of an introduction, it's, at least to the first Mishnah, it's important that we understand the concept of Shechita. The Torah never tells us how to do Shechita. That is derived through our oral tradition. All the Torah says is in Devarim Yud Beis, V'zavachta mi bikarcha u'mitzoncha, you should slaughter your cattle, your sheep, kasher tzivisicha, like I commanded you. You know what that teaches us? So the Brisa says, Melamed shenitztave Moshe al haveshet v'alakoneh v'arov echad ba'of v'arov shnayim bibehema. What does that mean? It shows you, what do you mean? Hashem says, I want you to slaughter an animal, Moshe, tell the Jewish people, like I command you. Where did Hashem command him? We don't have it where anyone in the Chumash. So the answer is, that's part of the Torah Shabbal Peh. That's part of the tradition Moshe received. How to do the Shechita? What did Moshe, what specifics? The fact that you have to shech the veshet, the esophagus, the food pipe, and the
the kaneh and the trachea, the windpipe, and the fact that you have to, that there is a mitzvah to shecht, you don't have to shecht both completely, but it has to be rov shnayim, a majority of those two simanim have to be cut when it comes to an animal, and when it comes to a bird, it's sufficient to do rov echad ba'ov, to do even shechting only one of the two simanim, and the majority of only one of the two simanim is acceptable as well. There are five different things that can render an animal that was slaughtered a nevela, where I mean it's not a kosher animal, no different than it had the animal just died by itself. So if the shechita is not kosher, the animal comes to nevela as well, and there's tumah of nevela. Of course, there's an issur to eat nevela. And these five things are the following. Number one is called shehiyah. Shehiyah is pausing. That's where the shochet, during the shechita, he pauses during that time, and therefore that is going to make it disqualified. What's considered a pause? We assume kidei shechitas behema acheres. The amount of time it would take him to shecht another animal, which is pretty quick, that already would be considered shehiyah, and that would passel the shechita. Number two is drasa, pressing down. If the shochet presses the knife down on the neck of the animal or the bird, whatever he's shechting, as opposed to using the regular cutting motion back and forth. So that's also a problem. That's called drasa. Hagrama is inclining. If the shochet, let's say, takes the knife and he cuts the veshet or the trachea above or below the area in the neck that you're supposed to be shechting. In Hebrew, we call that hataya, lahatot. Hagrama means, lahagrim, lahatot means to incline it. So here he's chutz mimakom hashchita. It's above or below the place of on the neck where the shchita is supposed to take place. We'll learn later on where that's supposed to be. Then after hagrama, those three, we have chalada. Chalada is like a chulda, is like a weasel, kind of where a weasel kind of moves in and out from cracks and crevices. That's where if the knife, let's say, is hiding. It's not the knife is supposed to see the knife, and then right across the neck, you're supposed to do the shochet should do the shechita. Here, what he does is he sticks the knife in between, let's say, the esophagus and the trachea, and let's say he shechted one siman above, went upward, and then went downward. So then that's not the way you're supposed to be doing the shechita. And that would also be true even if he shechted, let's say, the one of the simanim properly, but then he took the knife out. And then shechted the other one from above. So that's also considered a chalada, and that will disqualify the shechita. And finally is ikur. Ikur is uprooting or tearing. What does that mean? So it could be that there's a nick in the knife, and that will tear the organs, the esophagus of the trachea, rather than cutting them. And according to others, it means that, let's say, you actually tear them out of place as opposed to doing the shechita properly. If you tear them out of the place where they're attached, so that's also going to invalidate the shechita. So the Mishnah begins, and the statements of the Mishnah seem to be very straightforward, yet the Gemara learns a lot out of each of the statements. The first statement of the Mishnah is Hakol Shochatim. Everybody can shecht. So, and then the Mishnah says, Ushchita San Kshera. And their shechita is kasha. That's obviously somewhat redundant, and each of those phrases comes to teach us a lot. Number one, Hakol Shochatim, the Gemara says the following. Hakol is a reference to all those who are mumchim, who are baki, or experts in the laws of shechita, are allowed to shecht, and that's lechatchila. Now, that would be true even if they're not muchzakim. What does it mean, not muchzakim? It means that they haven't shechted at least in front of us three times, so we know that they have the ability to shecht without fainting, let's say, which would potentially, pausing, which would be a problem of shehiyah, which was the first of the disqualifications. And the reason why we allow that without examining the person three times is because as long as we know he's a bucky, we don't assume that if the average person is going to faint from this and it will be too exhausted, he'll be able to find it. As long as he's a bucky in Hechos Shechita, he's able to shecht. But that's, we need to know that he's a bucky. But if we don't know a person is an expert in Hechos Shechita, we don't allow such a person to shecht lechatchila. So Hakol Shochatim means lechatchila, we allow people to shecht as long as we know they're experts in the laws of Shechita, even if we haven't seen them three times shecht properly. Ushchita san kshera. Now it says, and their shchita is kasher, which means if they did check these people, these mumchim, of course, then we have to check them. And rather, what the Mishnah means is, and if the people who are disqualified, who don't know the law, if they know the laws, we can let them check the chatchila. Ushchita san kshera is a language of bidi eved, bidi avad after the fact. So that means that if someone is not, we don't know that he's a Bucky. We don't know that he's not. We just don't know that he is a Bucky, an expert in Hilchos Shechita. So such a person, if they did Shecht, so then after the fact, we can check, examine them, whether they know the Hilchos Shechita. And if and we find out that they do, so then after the fact, we can permit their Shechita. But then the Mishnah says, Chutz mecheresh shote v'katan, except a deaf mute, shote a person who's mentally deranged, a katan, these are all people who don't have das. And so if they don't have, we assume they don't have the intellect to shecht properly, know the halachos, even if they may know Hilchos Shechita, we don't give them the right to shecht, and that would be even true if someone's omed al gabehem, someone standing there and watching them to ensure that they do it properly. We will not allow a cheresh shot of a katan to do so, even with someone there, even if we think they know, even if they know Hilchos Shechita. Why? Shema yikalkul b'shechitasan. We're afraid that the cheresh shot of a katan, because they don't have the intellect, may be makalkul, may ruin the shechita. How so? Shehiya drasa chalada, as we said, it may pause, it may press down too much, they may they put the knife in between the two sibanim and cut that way. And not only that, if bidieved, if they shecht it, but what if after the fact, the chayr shot of a katan, they shecht it, and we see it seemed to be done properly. So the halacha is that if they shecht it and no one was watching, the shechita is pasul because we're afraid they did something wrong. Now, you wouldn't know by looking at the animal now whether there was shehiya or not. So therefore, if there's no one on top of them watching them, the shechita is going to be pasul. But the kulon, but all of these people though, so now we have the whole list, cheresh, shote v'katan, or someone who we don't know that he's a bucky in Hilchos Shechita. But all of these people, sheshachatu, if they did shecht, so b'di'eved, if they did shecht, v'achirim, roam, or son, and other people were watching them while they were doing so, and saw that they shechted kahalacha, shechita son, k'shera. Then their shechita is going to be kosher. However, the halacha is that we assume like this, that rov mitzuyim etzel shechita mum mechemchem, which means when it comes to shechita, you can assume that the majority of the people who are actually slaughtering animals, birds, animals, etc., we assume that they are experts. And therefore, v'lechatchila, they are allowed to shecht. And that would be true even if other people don't see them. So this means, here's someone who we haven't examined. But nonetheless, there is this chazakah, this rov, this majority, that most people who are involved in shechita are mumchim, so we can trust them. And lechatchila, they can't even shecht. And even if no one's watching them, even though we didn't check them prior to this, because we can follow the rov, but cheresh v'katan, that even b'di'eved, if their shechita is not good, unless someone was watching them while they were shechting and realized that they shechted properly. Shechitas nachri. You have a shechita done by a non-Jew, and even if he did it kahalacha, and there's Israel watching him, nevela. It has the status of nevela. Why? Because a nachri is not betorah shechita. Same way a nachri is not betorah, it's not in the laws of kiddushin and gittin. So a nachri, we don't assume it can be mekadesh anybody. So he's not in the laws of kiddushin. He's not in the laws of shechita. They don't apply to him. And therefore, when they shecht an animal, it's as if the animal died by themselves. Some claim that it's based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'zavachta v'ochalta." V'zavachta is speaking to the Jewish people, so it's not just not b'toras, but I actually have a pasuk. Not they're not in the laws, obviously, because but the pasuk says "V'zavachta" is a specific mandate for the Jew. And says the Mishnah, "Umitama b'masa." So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? If you told me that if a nachri does the shechita, so it has you said it's a kosher, looks like a kosher shechita. Yeah, but it does not, but it has the status of nevela. So much so, we treat like nevela, even though the shechita looks beautiful, it's considered nevela to the point where it's in mitame mamasa. When it comes to nevela, a nevela in general is mitame, but if you pick it up and not touch it, it's on a plate. And you're not touching it at all. That's nevela is mitame, even b'masa, even if you just carry it. Not if you're in the same room in it. That's tumas meis. But a nevela is mitame b'masa. So the Mishnah here says that the nevela, the shechita of a nachri, even though the shechita looked beautiful, has a status to nevela so much so that obviously if you eat it, you're chai for eating nevela. And it's mitame b'masa. The chiddush of the Mishnah is also that although it's metame memasa and has the status of nevela, it's mutter bahana. Nevela is mutter bahana. You're allowed to sell nevela. You can give it to a non-Jew, feed it to an animal. It's not a problem with that. As long as you're not eating it. Maybe I would have thought, though, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, I would have thought maybe he had a machshava for Avodah Zarah. And to krovis Avodah Zarah, something that was shechted for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, is Asr Bahana. So the Mishnah says, no, we're speaking about a Nachri who's not involved with Avodah Zarah, and therefore we assume that his Nevela is Mutter Bahana and it's not Asr for Avodah Zarah. Hashochet Balayla. V'chein Hasuma Sheshachat Shechit Asok Sheh. A person who shechs at night, it's dark, but he he's not. He's not using a candle even, or a person who's blind who shechted and no one was watching. B'di'evid, the shechita is going to be kosher. But at nighttime, if let's say using an avuka, you're using a havdalah candle, or you have light, so there's no problem with shechting at night. If you have light, that's not an issue, even lechatchila. But b'di'evid, we're saying if you shechted at night and you couldn't see that well, so b'di'evid is it's going to be kosher. Hashochet b'Shabbos uveyomak. So and the same thing with a blind person who shechted, even if someone was watching, b'di'evid it's going to be kosher. Hashochet b'Shabbos uveyomak kipurim. Afal pishim is chayev benafshav shchita sokshir. Pusin shechs on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. Even though he's chayev misa, which means he's chayev skila for shechting on Shabbos or chayev kares for shechting on Yom Kippur, he's doing an avera, the shchita is going to be kosher. Which means one would have thought that maybe since the shchita was prohibited, so maybe the shchita should be disqualified because it was done at a time that you're not permitted to shecht. So we don't assume that. It is a shchita re'uya. It is a valid shchita, even though it was done at a time that you can't shecht. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to eat it till Motzei Shabbos because you can't get hanah from malacha that was done on Shabbos. And the fact that the Tana mentions both Shabbos and Yom Kippur is to teach you that we compare the Shechita of Shabbos to Shechita of Yom Kippur. Just like when it comes to Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat it, obviously, that whole day, because you can't eat, because it's a festive. So to the Shechita of Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat that entire day. But once Motzei Shabbos comes, then it's mutter even for the, not only for other people to eat from it, but even for the person who did the Shechita, because he did it b'shogeg, after Shabbos, he and obviously others can get hanah from it.